Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. You know, and first of all, of course, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Would love to hear from you. It's really interesting, the markets. I'm going to talk about in the next hour, in my monologue. I want to talk about the speed of the markets and how we just... We're so thrown off by that. You know, some of the basics. I want to kind of run through some of the basics. You know, last week we talked about the fact that it's easy to get rich. And it is. It really is. But we play games with this and we get worried about things that just really make no sense if you were actually to take a step back. But being humans, we don't take a step back. We can't. It's not something that's easy for us to do. We get caught in the moment. And the markets are fast, right? They are super quick. Meaning, we don't like what's going on. Boom, they go down. Just like that. And we're like, whoa, that's just too much. I don't want to be in this. This is like, as some people say, it's like a casino. No, it's not like a casino. It's not at all. Because the fact is the players always win. And I've never been to a casino where the players ever win. Right? I mean, they might win on a night. But this is something that you win all the time. So if it's a casino, you are the owner. Congratulations. That's wonderful. But we don't feel like that. We feel like there's times we should be trading and things like that. So it's always good to go back to basics, especially when we look at a world that has an inverted yield curve. Ooh, that sounds frightening and gloomy and bad. Kind of like the, you know, death cross, which is this thing too, technical thing. It occurs once in a while. I've never seen it be the death of anything, but boy, do they have to report it when we have the death cross. And then it goes away, and then some years later, we have another death cross, and it goes away too. But anyway, funny how that works. Now, the inverted yield curve, what is that? Because you're going to hear about it, you've heard about it, you already know what it is, maybe. But here's the deal. Oh my gosh, I just sounded like Joe, didn't I? Here's the deal. The inverted yield curve is when you have short-term rates higher than long-term rates, right? So it's kind of like cash. Or, you know, in the most extreme case, cash or really short duration, you know, like 3-month treasury bills, that kind of stuff, is yielding more, paying investors more than long-term bonds, which is like crazy. Like, I'm always, if I'm going to give you money for longer, loan it to you for longer, I would always want more money than if I said, I want my money back in 90 days. And so it's a very unusual thing. You know, if I'm going to lend you money for your house for the next 30 years, then doggone it, we're going to have, like, and we'll talk about that later, but because we're up to almost 5% now on mortgage rates from 3 at the beginning of this year, 3 to 5. Wow. That's crazy, isn't it? We barely hit the spring, right? A couple weeks ago, hit spring. All right. But here's what I'm trying to say when it comes to this type of thing. We don't know what's going to happen. But nobody seems to have the humility to say that. Well, we don't know. Everybody's selling something, and almost always it's doom and gloom, or watch what I'm doing over here. I'll scream louder. I'll be more doom and gloomish. Just watch. I get paid per view. And websites too. The inverted yield curve is an important point in that it can indicate a recession. It can. And you'll see places that say 100% of the time, this has been an indicator. Yeah, if you give it another 5 years, it's like, I mean, recessions come and go. It's a normal part of life, right? But it doesn't make you right if 7 years later we have a recession because we had an inverted yield curve, and then 7 years later there was an actual recession. It doesn't make it a 100% indicator. I'm sorry. You don't have an infinite amount of time to prove your it's 100% accurate. So it's not. So it's misreported. It's not 100% accurate. By the way, very little is, right? I mean, very little things are 100% of the time this works. In fact, a lot of things that are reported as when interest rates go up, the stock market goes down. Except that's actually not true. And 100% of the time, when interest rates go up and interest rates were low, the market is up 6 months later, was not reported, even by the likes of JP Morgan. So some of these well-known things aren't actually researched very carefully, are they? They just go around babbling all the time. It's blah, 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 blah about interest rates. Blah, 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 blah about inverted yield curves. Without any real knowledge. But they sound smart. And they're on smart TV or smart websites that are carefully edited and all that good stuff, right? So they sound really smart. They're good communicators. But here's what really happens. It's not because they're really smart. They're not. They communicate well. That's true. But we're so lazy, we don't even look at it. And we don't think about it. And then the second part, which is more deadly even than that, is they just confirm what we already believe in, that the world is ending. And so that's all I want to know. I'm done. I'm done thinking about it. I don't think the market will come back because I don't want to believe the market's coming back because I don't think it is. That's what we do. We simply listen to data that confirms what we already believe. And we think weirdly. This to me seems like the definition of dumb, right? I am really smart at what I already believe. I just want some more data that confirms what I already believe, but don't show me any data that disagrees with what I already believe. I would call that becoming dumber. Dumber by the day. Frightening when you really think about it, that my mind would shut down to the idea of letting anything in that I didn't already agree with. Wow. And we think we can change people's minds. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible to me. I mean, that's another topic. Totally other topic. When we think about the markets delivering long-term rates of return, and then we spend all of our time worrying about inverted yield curves, death crosses, what's going on in Ukraine, energy prices, inflation. There's a ton of worries, and don't get me wrong, these are terrible things. And I'm not going to give you the Pollyanna story like, oh, dividends and corporate profits are very, very high. They are. They're at record levels. Let me pause there. Record level highs in dividends paid, stock buybacks, and profits. I wonder why the market's doing okay. I can't figure it out. It's too hard to figure out. Why, if you're owning corporations and their dividends that they pay me go up to record levels, why their profits and balance sheets are the best they've ever been, I can't even imagine how they would hold up in such a terrible environment. Of course, it's the reason they're holding up in what is clearly a terrible environment. The Federal Reserve is way behind the curve, horribly. My goodness. I mean, these guys are just, they're acting like boneheads. Now they're running around like they never did all the stuff that they did for basically the last year. I'm not saying that they should have done this all, shouldn't have done all of this since the financial crisis. I don't know. Nobody knows. It's like you come to a Y in a road and you say, let's go to the left. And then everybody's like, I wonder what was to the right. Ma, here's what I think is to the right. Let me tell you what would have happened if we'd have gone to the right. Well, nobody knows because we didn't go that way. We don't have any idea what that way was, which was like, would be like, okay, let the financial system melt down and, oh, well, no, we wouldn't have done it. We could have done it. Pull back here. Okay, in hindsight, you could have done this and zigged here and there. But let's just say this. over the past year, while we're trying to be convinced of Build Back Better, modern monetary theory. Now, these don't have a basis in reality. Like this is what worked in, you know, Sweden in the 1960s. It hasn't worked anywhere ever. So, but we're going to have a new theory called modern monetary theory, which simply says, have everything you want, give everything away, except the power that we have, and we will govern your lives in such a way that you'll be happy, content, and everything's free. And it doesn't matter that you have to pay for it. Nobody has to pay for it. We'll tax some of the rich because we have to penalize them because they, you know, make stuff and they have more than you, so we have to penalize them. That's kind of just the way it works. But really, we just print more money and deficits don't matter. And there won't be any inflation. That's what Janet Yellen told us. That's what the Federal Reserve said. They said it was transient. And it really doesn't see how having higher deficits, Janet Yellen, I don't know what happened. You got old, rolled out of bed, you hit your head. I don't have any idea. Something weird happened to Janet Yellen on the way to the Treasury Department under the new woke America. She like became woke. Weird. Like, oh, no, all the things I used to know and think and talk about and do when I was the Fed chair, we don't believe in anymore. This is so politicized and weird, but this is what they're doing, and it went on and on. Now, all of a sudden, the Federal Reserve realizes that, oh, no, this actually isn't transient. We know that. So what we're going to do is not stop digging the hole now. We don't. That's silly. That's so silly. We need to dig the hole deeper for another 8 months. And then we'll go ahead and raise interest rates and quit digging the hole deeper as well. Now, when I say dig the hole deeper, meaning they're buying bonds and raising and increasing the size of the balance sheet because $8 trillion is not enough. We need to get 9, maybe 10. Because remember, what we're told is that it's okay. It doesn't matter. We got this. Even though it's never been tried before. And there's a whole lot of people out there that are biting their nails and going, and I'm not talking just about on the right and on the left, biting their nails going, this is not going to work. They were right. And the Federal Reserve, though, but they knew this 8 months ago. They knew they were wrong. But then they got the shovels and they kept digging. And nobody's ever asked them that question. Why did you stop? Why didn't you stop digging when you knew that inflation was not transient? Why did you put more money into the system that was causing the inflation in the first place? Because we had a plan and we're not going to deviate from the plan. Kind of like Afghanistan. Not going to deviate from that plan. It's a great plan and you're just not seeing it right. We're not. Obviously, we need to re-message things. That's what it is. And so when we have this inflation problem, we just need to re-message it. That's what the real problem is. It's the messaging. It's not what is actually happening for you in front of you. No, it's the messaging of it. And so we've got this situation where this is real and it's difficult and we sometimes lose sight and we start trying to time the markets, which we know we can't do, but we do. We try. I just want to wait. I'm just a little nervous about it. We all are, like almost all the time. But in spite of all of that, the corporations of the world, especially American corporations, answer the call. Their balance sheets are pristine because when interest rates were low, they got boatloads of money for next to nothing, next to no cost. So corporate profits are surging. There's so much money on the balance sheets, enough to fund all of the R&D and all those other things. Here, have some more dividends, shareholders of ours. Here, let's go ahead and buy back some more stock. I mean, the rate of return on our own stock is so good compared to what we can do out there. Crazy. We forget why we own stocks. It's not because of inverted yield curves or not having inverted yield curves. It's not so we can get rich quick, although some do. I get that. They really want to trade and do all that. It's not because rates are high or low or what have you. It's we are owning the great corporations of the world, and we therefore are entitled to a share of their profits, meaning dividends. The speed of the markets, we'll talk about that in the next hour, is just, man, it just throws us. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, our final segment for this hour, but again, in the second hour, I want to talk about really how, I know, we talk about our brains all the time, right? And I do, because it's really the cornerstone of our behavior, our success or failure in our investing lives. Probably most of our life all the way around is based on how well we deal with things, right? Obviously, you know, it's just one of those things that really affects our life. But in investments, it's incredible. But the speed of the market, how quickly it can digest and throw us off, you know, digest all kinds of things. So, you know, we've been talking about what's going on with Joe Biden and the incompetence of this administration, which is, I really believe it's legendary. I'm not sure if it's the worst. We've only had 1 year. It's certainly the worst year in my lifetime, and that actually includes Jimmy Carter. So I just can't imagine more incompetence, and we got 3 more years. Just about. So when I say that, this is not a political statement, and I know liberals and don't like to hear that. But here's the point: everybody is concerned when the administration of the most powerful nation in the world is flat incompetent. It troubles the world. It troubles people. It empowers bad guys. Boy, I don't know what you mean by that, except for Ukraine, of course. So we have all of these things. Inflation is real. The incompetence of the Fed, the Treasury, et cetera. All of these are real. I want to talk about it and how it really, with the speed of the markets, it affects us in such terrible ways. So we'll talk about that after Fox News, top of the hour. Thanks for joining us. Hour two next. Hello, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming. And of course, these are my opinions only. And they're not the station, any broker-dealer, and we're not here to tell you what to buy or sell. We don't know anything about you. Why would we do that? But we do sometimes talk about stocks as an example, asset classes as an example. And so, again, please don't take those out of context. I'm not telling you to go buy Apple. It's been a great holding for us, but doesn't mean you ought to own it or like anything about them. I don't know. That's a whole different. Let's go a different route. I want to talk today about the speed of the markets, how fast we're punished or rewarded for our investment decisions, and how it messes with our heads. It really screws us up. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there. Most people, as a matter of fact, have that kind of that gambling bug, right? Oh, I don't have that. I don't go to the casino, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, good. Good for you. Most human beings want to get rich quick. How about we rephrase it? We want to hurry up and get that money. We are susceptible to it. We are also equally, maybe more so, susceptible to the fact of fear. Oh, I don't want any of that. I can't handle the volatility of filling your life. How about this? Your life is the most volatile thing in the world. The fact that you get out of bed, you may die. The fact that you will die is frightening. We all will. We like literally have to, and as we get older, have to learn to deal with the fact that we are going to die. And the people we love are dying. We don't have an option. We just learn to deal with it. I kind of find it interesting. As I, too, am aging, and although my health is good, there are things that start to, you feel that you didn't feel before. And there could be things that are growing. And a lot of people I love have passed. And so you think more and more about it. We just learn to deal with it. It's like when I grew up, we learned to just simply understand and deal with the fact that the Soviet Union and us had warheads pointed at each other, and really probably the desk that we had special thermonuclear things on at our schools wasn't really going to work, even though we were doing nuclear war drills. Put your head under your desk. That'll work. We just learned to live with it. It wasn't something we went around going, man, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this. People dealt with it. We just did. We're not a whole bunch of John Waynes out there, or tough guys, nothing like that. It was just, society was different. We weren't snowflakes. Stuff happened. It changed. And I think now, with the speed of the markets and the over promising under-delivering of everyone from politicians to Hollywood to everything else, and the whole idea you can just get rich quick, or you should be scared and hide in your basement, it really sells. I mean, it really, really, really sells. Why do you think they have equity-indexed annuity radio shows? Because it sells. People are easily sold on being afraid. Why do they have dinner seminars? Because for a steak, people are willing to listen to a pitch about fear. Because I don't know what's going on in the world. So the speed of the markets is what I think is what terrorizes us. It's not, oh, the market could go down 10% over the next year. It most certainly could. It has done it multiple times and worse. What in the world does that have to do with cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life, no matter how long you live? Well, actually, zero. But everybody tells me I need to be focused on now. Not the next 30 years. No, now. And I need to be scared. Why? Why would people scare you? Well, you already know the answer. So that they will make irrational investment decisions with them that pay very high commissions. It's a very profitable business to scare people. It's easy to do. If you want, you can call it low-hanging fruit. But the speed of the markets and how quickly we digest news, it throws everybody off. So I want to kind of go back to some of the basics that we, if you will, if you look at things, if you kind of pretend like you came to Earth as an alien and you looked down at this beautiful, amazing planet, and it is absolutely gorgeous, stunning, isn't it? The pictures of Earth from space are just, they're breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking. And you look at this and you see this world that basically is at peace. What are you talking about? We're the Ukraine. We got bad guys here and bad guys there. In all of human history, we're the most at peace that we've ever been. I know, it doesn't feel like it. Why? Because human beings, as you're looking at it from an alien's perspective, spend an awful lot of time thinking about what's wrong. They spend an awful lot of time watching the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again. They spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's going to go wrong next instead of living. And if we think about it from a perspective of the markets, see, stocks have been around for 200 years. More than 200 years. And we think about the basics of it. We say, oh, well, you know, I'm really worried now, so I'm going to go into gold. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, there have been like really brief periods where gold's done better. What about bonds and stocks? And we take this over a 200-year period. And I know you don't live for 200 years, but in a way you do, because putting your investments in place to have cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life, no matter how long you live, is a long-term thought process. It's not short. It's not a trading mentality. And if you had put $10,000 into gold, are you ready? Drum roll, please. Oh, my goodness gracious. You'd have $26,000 200 years later. $26,000. Now, bonds, which are really getting hammered right now because we got, you know, timeout. We already covered all the bad stuff, but come on. Inflation, it's out of control. We got an inverted yield curve right now. What's the matter with you? Bonds. And we've had a couple of inflationary upsets in the last 200 years. Just a couple, right? $8 million. So you can go into gold because you're afraid and it earns nothing. So nothing that it's $26,000 200 years later. Or you can go into bonds, which are really, they're barely ahead of inflation or equal inflation over the years. $8 million. Not bad. Big difference there. Big difference. How about $5.6 billion, for a one-time $10,000 investment in stocks? That's the long term. What about the last 25 years? Not so long, but that's long in, by golly, that's only 24 years and 11 months long term compared to how most people think. I want to know what's happening this month, now, right? I don't want to care. I don't care about the next 25 years. Yes, we do. That's the trajectory of human existence, the trajectory of technological development. That's why longer term matters. But let's just say it's 25 years. Well, it's 10%. Actually, the same as 200 years. It's weird. If it's like 32 years, because why not 32? How about 34? How about 38? It's 10. 46, 10. How about the last 50 years? 10. It's 10. It's a gravitational pull to 10 over long periods of time. But we don't want to know that. We don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on the big up and downs and knowing what we can't know. So we say, oh, yeah, but really, really different. This is so different now. The speed of the markets and everything, and like a boom, you can lose 500 points. You can lose 1,000 points. Remember what happened in 08? I do. I was there. It's weird. I was there. And it was really a hard time because it really was unprecedented in many ways. So was the market crash in 87. So was the inflation in 1970s and early 80s. Unprecedented high interest rates. We dealt with it. We dealt with it. And even if you invested right before the financial collapse, this is what everybody points to. I can't go with another one of those. I can't do that. I can't do this. I got it. Okay. Even if you invested, which happened to be November of 2007, was the market peak before 2008, early 2009, took that down and cut it in half as measured by the S&P 500. Cut it in half. Remember the S&P 500, the big corporations, the great corporations of the world, it was what I like to call them. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I also like to call them, because some of them go poof and all the capital goes bye-bye. Nothing cherry-picked about the S&P 500. Just the big companies in America. Not a perfect index, just a good one. Cut in half. So your $10,000 became five. And that's if we think of it in a short-sighted way, of course. You didn't sell out, and some did. A lot did, unfortunately. That's why we talk about our brains all the time. The speed of the markets, recognizing how bad things were and that the Fed was not under control and that banks were in danger, the speed of the markets took it down 50%. But what we forget is in spite of QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're coming, then they're gone. And as soon as they go away, we're all going to die because it's all artificial. It's being propped. The next shoe to drop is, what was it? That's right, commercial real estate. Didn't drop. But mortgage crisis. And then, of course, Meredith Whitney gets on CBS's 2020. Was it? No, 60 Minutes. And tells the world that the municipal bond crisis is going to be terrifying and bad and could take the whole thing down. Don't own municipal bonds. And, of course, Americans went, ah, and they panicked and they sold out to the people that then made a lot of money on their bonds. Thanks, Meredith. How's she doing today? She probably heads Goldman. I don't know what she's doing. But she's gone. It'll never get better if Ebola doesn't get better. It's never going to get better if we can't get rid of Kim in North Korea. It's never going to get better. Because oil prices have collapsed. I mean, rise. I mean, I don't know what, but it's never going to get better. And that's the frame of mind we have, the speed of the markets. We think about it. And now that 5,000, six-fold higher, your 10,000 original invested on the worst day in the last 15 years. And you couldn't have picked a worse time, have threefold the money. We forget that all the time. We forget it all the time. And we think we can predict things. Here's what investors knew about the world in 2020. Right? We knew how great the recovery was, all great. What no one predicted was what happened. A global pandemic. Oh, wow. That's a big one. The fastest 30% drop, market drop ever. That was something until it went up more than that in the fastest recovery ever. So what are we doing now? We're all predicting what's going to happen in Ukraine, right? We're all worried because the speed of the markets and the speed of the information coming at us is so fast. But no one predicted a record vaccine rollout, did they? No one predicted low market volatility. Historically low. You mean to tell me, in the middle of a pandemic, a straight down 30, straight up 30, and then the market goes like boring for the next year and a half. Uh-huh. That's exactly what happened. That's so weird. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and predict the future because I can. Sure you can. Everybody's got a nose if you know what I mean. Everybody's got a prediction. So if you want to talk out your rear end, have at it. Everybody does it. So why wouldn't you? Why would we ever walk with humility going forward that we don't know what's going to happen? We don't. Except what's always happened is it's always worked. Maybe not this time. But how do I plan around that? What would I do in an inflation world? Should I like put it in cash? I mean, there's $10 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars. In cash in the United States. $10 trillion. And according to the Fed, that means it's losing 8% per year to inflation. Nice. Smooth. Gotta like that ride a lot. It's amazing. I get it. We're worried about everything. Inflation, Ukraine, Joe and company. And I know you're not supposed to. This is not political. Who has confidence in this administration to do anything right after Afghanistan and everything else? I don't know anything they've done right. I honestly don't. And you don't either. And because of that, we don't have any confidence going forward in them. And then we take politics and we put it on the market. You know what I have confidence in? American business, ingenuity. And our ability to move forward, to create, innovate, make better everything. Everything. That's what drives markets. That's why when we move from less than 10% of the households having a bathtub, when we actually, 100 years ago, and when we actually like invent things like deodorant, women can actually wash their hair more than once a month. men live longer than 47 years. Are we still on that trajectory? Because that's what's led to 10% broad market per year returns. Nothing else is close, and you're required to do nothing. Nothing. It's so easy, it's like it's made up. But our brains go, and the markets are fast, and they're getting faster all the time, and we lose sight of how have you done for the last 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. You've killed it. But energy prices are high. Inflation's high. Joe's in the White House. What about Ukraine? Inflation is so bad, I don't know, and they're not keeping up with wages. And what's going to happen when the housing market collapses because interest rates are going up? I don't know. I don't know any of that. I know the next market correction is right around the corner. I just don't know how long the street is before we get to that corner. But it's coming. It's coming. We just had one. Yeah, market correction. We have 3-5% corrections on average per year. Per year. But with the speed of the markets and all of the intense focus on it, you would think the end of the world was 3 times a year. Not a 5% market correction, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our life. But no, we should be wigging and wagging and zigging and zagging and moving around and doing things and hedging and all that stuff. And then go to some seminars and find out how I can have market returns with no risk. I'm sorry, you can't have that. But it doesn't matter because it's 10% all your life. We focus on the minutia, what really is, the unsolved, the future, which we can't predict, instead of all of the evidence of a greater, an abundance of everything in the world, and periods of time disrupting that with madmen, incompetence. When have we had great leadership since Ronald Reagan? Somebody? I mean great leadership. All the way through government, where people are like, God, they got this. Man, they got this. They don't. Nobody. I don't know what happened to D.C. The brain drain is, I don't know. Is it historic? I don't know. Is it just our people? I don't know. But business is killing it. The advancement of society is killing it. D.C.'s trying to destroy it. They can't. They can't do it. Because of that. We lose sight of all of that and focus on the speed. Well, it could go down a lot real quick. Oh, yeah, it could. And it will someday. And it has nothing to do with creating a cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life, no matter how long you live. Nothing. But that's where the focus is. And I think it's just speeding up, and at that speed makes us focus more and more on the wrong things. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'd love to hear from you. It's time to ring up the phones. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's time to join us on the phones. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. It's hard not to want to predict the market. I know. And I talk about this all the time because, and I just kind of came across it. I find it very funny and really quite tragic, right? That Fidelity Investments, sliced and diced. I know many of you have heard this a lot since this study was done in the middle 20-teens. They sliced and diced, find out if men and women were better investors or college-educated people, which, of course, is a broad assumption, finance majors, doctorates, all that stuff. And everybody's the same. They even broke it into minorities. Everyone's the same. Pretty bad at it. But there's one astounding group so far ahead. It's not even close. And what they did was they just took the money in and money out of all their mutual funds, right? And how that performance relative to the market was. And of course, the ones that were so far ahead of everyone else. May not have won the IQ test for paying attention, okay? Because they were people that forgot they had an account or were dead. They were dead. So they couldn't move their money. Those are the ones that did so good compared to everyone else. So what is the market going to do next year? What's it going to do? Where should I be? What about interest rates? What about this? Hey, if you just let your brain die, it's pretty clear by the studies, you're going to do great in the markets. You're going to do great. Yeah, I guess it kind of sort of means let things be. Let it happen, and it'll be good. All right, I got, because of the monologue, I got so far behind. We're going to take a quick break here for Fox News and get caught up. And then hopefully on the other side, we'll be taking your calls at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, you know, that little news flash there reminded me a couple weeks ago of talking about, you know, the billionaires playing in space. And it's really something I think that, and I talked about the tipping point that we're getting to. You know, this wokeness, it doesn't matter if people shoplift. It doesn't matter if you have riots where people die and you burn buildings. That's okay if it's a woke cause. It's not okay if it's, you know, that determination. And I'm pretty sure there's a solid group of people, morally perfect, that can determine what is right and wrong for all of us to believe. But it feels like it's gotten so far out of control. And when we think about it, and our reliance on government is what I'm getting at. Our reliance on government to do things feels to me like it's waning, that technology is so far ahead of any government entity that, and the wealth that it's created. We now have billionaires that are rushing towards Mars, not NASA. And it's good. It's good to have governments involved or drug along to whatever level they can do, right? But it isn't good to take 20 years to build something and then put it in the air. It's better if it takes 20 months or less. It feels like we've reached that tipping point. And I think, as they said, this edition of rich people in space or something like that, it's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're reaching that tipping point of personal wealth and non-governmental control. And I hope wokeness and everything else. It just feels different. It feels a lot different to me. All right, let's go to the phone. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
I have a series of questions here, and you just threw me sideways with that let's all go to space thing. You got to be rich to fix stuff. That's like the environment or everything else.
But, yeah.
The start of the question, keeping up with the theme of heartless, uncaring money kind of thing, the Federal Reserve's got a dual mandate, as I understand it, of keeping interest rates under control and keeping the unemployment rate down.
Yeah, inflation, but yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
If we let them go full Volcker and up the interest rates, I heard about the St. Louis Fed wants to go up 3% in one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
And the rates, that will cause a recession of one kind or another, how bad it gets. But will the recession, putting people out of work, fix our unemployment or our worker shortage?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where do they, are they thinking deep enough to try to balance all this, or are they just doing the mindless bureaucrat thing trying to save their own jobs?
I think they're doing, you know, this is a very interesting thing, Terry, because I would have to say that we went through this period, and maybe we're awakening that now, right? Because you're seeing more Fed governors speaking out. out of turn, frankly, saying they should raise interest rates a lot higher than they have, quicker. The minutes are always released, and you've seen the Fed drug along kicking and screaming. We're not going to have Build Back Better wokeness packages and just expand the balance sheet. It just isn't going to happen. They put a box around Janet Yellen. She doesn't even talk about anything anymore, to my knowledge. I haven't heard her at all. She has to give an occasional speech
testimony
to Congress.
Yeah,
but that's it. I mean, they don't let her talk at all. She's because she's a moron, and they realized it. And she was – I don't know what happened to her. She was not a moron before. She was a fully functioning human being. And on the way to the White House, she bumped and hit her head and became woke. Weird. I mean, everything she stood for before, thrown out the window.
Well,
but Terry, all of that's been proven wrong. Inflation is clearly out of the Fed's control. We can't just print money. And so they're becoming more awake to that fact. I think they're going to move more quickly. I think they're going to move very fast. And I think they blew it. And I think we are going to have inflation for a while. And we're going to have higher interest rates. But when we say it's going to be a dual mandate, it won't be. They have to stop inflation, period. They can talk about it being a dual mandate when everything's hunky-dory and there is no inflation at all in the world. And the only inflation that we could have is wiped out by what? Technology, right? It just everything gets better and cheaper. And it does. And I don't care what people say. They can say whatever they want. They're just not looking at the evidence. It's just that everything has gotten better and cheaper throughout society and kept inflation in check. And so they could try some of this weird stuff. But they did it too long. And I think they're going to have to come back fast. I am not convinced that if they took interest rates up 3% tomorrow, other than a earth-shattering, you know, drop in the market for a day or two, that we would not have a more normalized interest rate environment, normalized market conditions, and therefore a stronger future. I don't think we would have a recession because of that. Maybe it would slow it down. I don't really know. But if you're not seeing it in housing now, where we move from 3%, this is what is today, the 9th or 10th of April, right?
Right.
That's
nice.
It. This I'm talking about January. Rates were at 3, we're at 5. That is an earth-shattering move that the markets made, not the Fed. The markets said, we're not giving out money for 30 years anywhere near 3% when inflation is there and rates are rising. We're not. The market controls that.
Right. I go with the simpleton view of interest rates. If you're not going, or if you're not in debt or going massively in debt, the rate of borrowing money doesn't matter. You're not borrowing money. You're out of trouble.
That's right. And the other thing that we forget. I'm sorry, Terry. Go ahead. Finish.
I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get her done.
Mm-hmm.
And end all this caterwauling and gnashing of teeth kind of thing. And get back to the more normal.
Yeah.
Again, having lived through Paul Volcker's fix, it didn't hurt me very much. I came out only a little warped.
Yep. Yeah. No, it was painful at that time, but people didn't have the money they have. We didn't have trillions sitting in cash. We didn't have most homes paid off. Most homes don't have a mortgage.
Right.
We forget that. We didn't have at that time the most pristine balance sheets for all personal consumers. And hey, you say, I got debt. Well, good. Okay. You didn't fix it. That's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
You just went through the most abundant period in all of history and you can't control yourself. Well, tough beans, dude. I don't. This is the whole student loan thing. Do you know what what the rate of unemployment is for people that have a college degree? 2, and these are basement dwellers. 2%, 2 is all. And we're supposed to not pay back student loans because these people are going to have a catastrophic reaction to having to pay a couple $100 a month. That's not true. It just isn't true, and it's political. And the fact is, we have such a large amount of money. And I know Bob Smith over here and Pete Wilson over here, they've got a lot of debt. But that's not the society as a whole. We don't.
Yeah, well, don't go with the student loan thing, because I didn't do student loans because I served my country.
Yeah.
And they got the GI Bill. And all these kids that go to Acapulco on spring break on their student loan money coming in, they can, well, I have things I can't say on the radio I want to tell them.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's a, if you do the, even the Ramsey thing, simplify it, don't get into debt, you can write all of this out without a great big butthurt.
Right, right. I'm just saying, with society, even with rates going higher, we have more abundance today than we did. So the Volcker direct causation, if you will, causation, is not going to be the case. Now, we're also talking about rates that were astronomically high and they took them higher. We're talking about incredibly low rates being taken to where we ought to be.
Yes.
In a moderate inflation world, not a high inflation world. So I think you have, we don't know what's going to happen, Terry. I'm not pretending to do that. I'm just saying that the market is aware we're going 3% higher. Does it really matter if we do it next month or we do it over the next year? Mm-hmm. It's going 3% higher. That's already happened. Already happened. Nobody loans money for 30 years and goes, I wonder if I should wait a year until rates actually go a lot higher. They do it now. They do it now. So I'm not going to open up my wallet and go, yeah, I'm going to do loans at 3% and then wake up one day and go, wow, they raised interest rates. That's so weird. We all know it's happening. And so we kind of we just have to recognize that markets are moving fast, as I talked about, and they're and the speed of that is a recognition of where we're going. Okay? Not a full clarity. Nobody can see the future. But one thing's for sure, rates are going higher.
Yep.
And they already have. The market's taken them up.
And
hey, a move from 3% to 5 is a pretty big move.
And there's a slow and steady way to stay out of debt and make this work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just you put a little aside, like you're talking, put a little aside, your cup of coffee.
Yep.
And let's just let it ride. Let it sit and stay out of debt. Boom. Life gets so much simpler.
It isn't that complicated. We just make it hard. Terry, I got a roll. Thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
You do the same. Thank you, sir. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We'll be back for our final segment after our final break. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. I want to tell you something. I know we got to get to this call, but on a personal note, I've been doing this for over 30 years. And it's just plain fun. And I never know, you know, sometimes you're going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed or things aren't going perfect in your life or you're just being a grump, right? Whatever. You know how that is. I mean, everything can be like roses and sunshine, but it doesn't feel that way in your brain for whatever reason. And then you just kind of come in and do this and it's fun. And it is, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that, really. I mean, it's just, it's fun. It's fun to think, to talk with you, to get feedback. Anyway, thank you for listening for all these years and really, really shaping my life in ways that you just can't know, and I don't even know all of them. I just don't know. But it's really shaped my life differently, and I think anybody like Kevin will tell you that in broadcasting. And we obviously lost a good one this week, Larry Gebert. But it's a really changing thing for people. So thank you for letting me do that. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. I'd like to get your opinion on something. My wife and I, for the last 20 years or so, have contributed to our grandkids or kids IRAs and then Roth IRAs, and I've over the years I've tried to figure out what section or sector a person should invest their money or their kids' money in, and I one year it seems to be growth and then it's high tech and then it's value stocks. And so about 4 years ago I decided to just start buying the low cost S&P 500 index funds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've done that. We've done that for 4 years or five. And so I'd just be curious what your opinion would be, say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not too smart and 10 being scathingly brilliant. What kind of investing theory do you think that is?
I think that's a solid 8, maybe an 8 plus. And from a standpoint of ease, it's a 10. From the standpoint of certainty, it's a 10. You're not trying to guess what the market's going to do. And I mean, on just about every level, Bob, I think it is a 10. I mean, it's a 10 for lessons about. I mean, I'm always quoting the S&P 500, right? I mean, you know, that's I'm quoting a cup of coffee a day. I don't say the cup of coffee a day in this best performing mutual fund and, you know, over here is $1.1 million over 40 years. It's the S&P 500 because that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. In other words, that's good lessons for your family about creative destruction and how great companies in the 1970s and 80s are gone, and it still works. You don't have to catch the latest IPO or the latest hot sector. I think when you're starting, I probably would be, you know, that's why I only gave you an 8, okay, because otherwise it's perfect, all right? I'm saying when you're just starting, I'm kind of leaning to the growth side. And I used to be a value guy, okay, Bob? I'm a total value guy. I'm a total John Templeton freak. I read everything. I quote him all the time. He's a value guy. That's how I came up. But the world shifted, and growth became value, and it really did. And I want to be careful of quotes, the general value concept. It's not that I don't own value stocks in my own portfolio and broadly, like Dow Chemical. But I want giant moats around them, and I buy them for different reasons, like dividends, right? And the fact that you're not going to be able to build a chemical company or a chemical factory anywhere. So the fact that they exist, that kind of stuff, that's what I mean by a moat around their business. And we all use chemicals, even though we pretend we're all green and stuff and all. But everybody uses them. So those are the kind of value stocks. But what I don't want to do is get into really bad value traps like GE turned out to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I say, it's a really low P.E. ratio, things like that. That's because it was a crappy company. And so, and the same thing is automobiles. It's been very fortunate for me for 40 years to stay out of autos, okay? Except for Tesla. But and everybody points to one. Generally speaking, autos are destructive of capital. That's been a good choice. Airlines, the same thing. And I'm not saying you can't sometimes come in and buy airlines. I think right now is probably a pretty good time, right? Everybody's going to travel. Costs are contained, da-da-da. But you got to be careful with those value traps. And so I would tend to say you could always amp it up on the growth side if you wanted to. But guess what the S&P is dominated by? Growth. It's Amazon, it's Google, it's Apple, it's Facebook. That is, I just named 20% of the S&P.
Yeah.
Okay? So it dominates by what's trending anyway. So I love it. I think it's a grand idea. I think you nailed it, Bob. And you also nailed a very good strategy, a multi-generational strategy of funding tax-free retirement for your kids. Fantastic idea.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, okay, I think it is.
Thank you so much for your opinion.
Thank you, and you have a great day. We don't have time. We don't have time for giving our number. We're just about out of time today. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you at PetsoFinancial.com. We also have podcasts. Our YouTube channel is there. And what I mean by podcasts, if you want to catch something, it's usually there by Monday or Tuesday. I know that Bo goes and downloads it immediately today. We get in on Mondays and get on it. So if you miss anything, you want to listen, it's there. We also have articles and calculators. And most importantly, we'd like to hear from you what you want to be addressed. Otherwise, have a wonderful weekend. And thank you again for joining us. And thank you again for over 30 years of listening.